I am definitely need the Lord to help me tonight. You'll probably hear my voice is kind of going to crack. But by the Lord's help, I'd like to talk about the great word. Song says, I'll say the great word. Yes, I'll say the great word. We all have a life. The Lord's given us a life. Very precious to be able to live. To think about having a life that means something. You have a life, and God wants to make something out of it. And I've learned a little bit as I've lived life. I think about my early days and what I thought about life and what it meant to me and what I thought I would do with it. And I haven't done hardly anything that I thought I would. When I was in high school, I had a notion that I would graduate from high school. That was what was expected of me. And I thought that would be a good idea to graduate. And I worked real hard to make sure that I didn't learn any more than I had to graduate. But my desire was, is because it was expected of me to graduate. So I wanted to do that. So I, with much wisdom, planned the way I'd do it. I take all the easy classes. Then you was more sure of being able to accomplish the goal. So I thought, well, I don't need a vocation. They had a wonderful vocation part of our school, but welding, auto mechanics, carpentry. But I thought, well, who needs to go through that? That looks like it'd be a little harder, so I took home economics. And it was pretty easy credits. I got through it pretty good grade. Come out to the end of my high school years, and I couldn't get into different classes that I wanted to because they was blocked classes, and so they put me in a typing class. I didn't need the credit. And what would I do with a typewriter? I'd never need to type, right? So I didn't even try to learn to type. So it was the only class that I actually failed in high school. I failed it because I didn't care to learn. I didn't want to learn. My English class, you had to pass that to pass high school, so I passed it. But I ain't never going to need no English because I know I ain't writing nothing, and I'm never going to stand up and talk to anybody. So I don't need to know how to say things or write things. And that's the way I went through life. The Lord said to me one Sunday morning, if you're going to put all the effort into going to service every week, why don't you try to get something out of it? But that's the way I approach life, with that kind of idea that I'm not going to need any of that. So I never really applied myself to any of it. And I found out quickly after I got out of school that almost everything that I thought I didn't need, I soon needed it. That somebody understood and knew that there would be things that I needed that I didn't think that I would need. One of my first jobs that I got was doing a coal tipple that had needed some construction on it. And one of the first things I was asked, hey, can you weld? No, but I can make you some cookies. I can sew your shirt. But there wasn't no market for that. But I could have done well in the welding that I said, I don't need that. I'll never need that. So I never applied myself in life. But now, be honest with you, as I look at life and look at those mistakes, and I'll acknowledge to you tonight, that was mistakes. Young people, youth is valuable. Youth is valuable, but it don't stand by itself because If the Lord grants you life, time's going to go on and youth is going to turn into responsibility. The ages that you're going to be responsible for things. But now's the time to start saying, this is what I need to do. About what I'm going to do. Do you know what you do, young people, tonight? What you do today may affect your marriage tomorrow. Sure, it might. It might affect your wage on your job. It may affect the integrity that you have. All these things are wrapped up into today. That might mean something for tomorrow. And now as I am older, I really would like for my life to count for something. I hope you don't look at that as saying, well, that's kind of arrogant or proud. But I would like for my life to... God gave it to me. And I'd like for it to count for something. So if you would tonight, maybe you could daydream with me a little while tonight. Just for a little while. Maybe I can be something. John F. Kennedy had an airport named after him, JFK. Well, my name's Marty Brent Clevenger, so maybe NBC, I don't know, is that International Airport or National Airport? They ought to have something named after me that people would remember and know who I am. And I'd count for something, make something of myself. NBC. Well, I'll be honest with you, I think going for the presidency at this stage in my life is probably been overshot. Probably not going to make it. Now, Robert C. Byrd has his name on a lot of things in West Virginia. There's Robert C. Byrd Highway, Robert C. Byrd Telescope. Number of buildings is named after Robert C. Byrd. He was elected, if my memory is right, in 1968. And he was our U.S. Senator until just a couple years ago. He was in there for over 40 years. He was got to one of the highest positions in the country, and he was able to appropriate money out. He was the big guy that told what they was going to spend money on, and he had a lot of power. And he got his name put on things because he did. So he's well known, but I don't think even reaching for a U.S. Senator would be to me. So I'm going to have to shoot lower to be able to be something. And notice on the way to Oklahoma, there's the Will Rogers Turnpike. Now, I don't know much about... He was a cowboy, wasn't he? And he was real good with twirling ropes. Well, now we're getting closer to what maybe I can do. But I don't like horses. I don't know if being a famous cowboy is going to work for me either. Now, on out there where you turn off of 44 in it and 35, there's the Shannon Miller Parkway or Drive. She was a gymnast, I think, wasn't she? A local area there. Bones is too creaky for that. But I want to be something. I really want my life to count for something. People have done a lot of things to make their life count for something in this life, and people recognize that they are somebody. But most of these things will escape every one of us. But you know, God wants our lives to mean something. He created us to mean something, to be something. Well, our lives isn't to just hang out there on nothing. And I want to encourage us tonight. God wants us to do something with our lives and be something. And you don't have to be Neil Armstrong. You don't have to be a president of the United States. You don't have to be a great man somewhere to make your life count for something. God takes the small things. God takes the little things. God takes the faithful things. And He makes great things out of them. Your life tonight can count no matter what place you're in life. No matter what station you're in life. No matter where you're at, if you want your life to count for something, God wants it to count for something. Your life really does count for something tonight. People waste their lives. You know, every one of us choose what we're going to life. We don't necessarily choose who we are. We don't. I didn't choose who I am. I didn't choose where I was born or who I was born to. Or my environment. None of that was a choice of mine. But within that environment and within who I am and within that, I had the choice of my life. and what I'm going to do with it. Every one of us in here tonight has a choice of their own lives. You can squander it. You can throw it away. You can make it be something valuable in the world if you can achieve it. But there's something more than all that that God wants of us. So I desire your prayers tonight as we think about this thought a little bit. Jesus made His life count. When the heavens was searched, there was one that said, yes. Yes, I'll go. For 33 and a half years, Jesus was faithful to the task and to a cause that is above all causes tonight. This is above the causes of this world, of this earth. The causes of everything that men try to do in this life, whether righteous or unrighteous, worth something or not worth anything. Whether they're of the base nature or of noble, there is one cause that's above all causes tonight, and Jesus came and gave His life for that one cause that's above all causes. There is a cause of eternity. There is a cause of souls. There is a cause of God and of righteousness that far exceeds all the other causes and anything that you can ever be. If you can be found faithful in God tonight, it's the greatest of all causes. You'll be something. Tonight, if you'll be faithful to that, you'll be something. But I want us to know this one place. It's up to you. God will be faithful to His position. Jesus has been faithful to His call to come. He came and in perfection, He perfected a plan for our eternal salvation. He came and lived among men. He gave His life to become a man. He came as a young child, as a baby, born in a manger, not of high things but of low things, to teach you and I that it isn't of the great things, it's of the least things. And He came. He came, and don't you know, though He was the Son of God, He went through everything that you and I could go through here on this earth. And was faithful to that. He chose to do it. In His heart, He chose to say yes to this plan. Yes to the will of God. Yes to His Father. He said, not my will when it come down to the end. Not my will, but Thy will be done, being faithful to God. Yes, He said, yes, I will do it. Yes, I will go. Yes, I will fulfill it. And He made His life count. What life has counted more in the existence, all the existence of humanity, all the way in the whole existence of God's creation, what life has meant more than the life of Christ? His life has changed the whole perspective of our world. He has changed the whole hope that you and I have of anything beyond this life. His life counted. I'm thinking of a story I read one time back in the late 1930s, early 40s. There was a spirit loosed in the world of aggression. And there was people trying to conquer other peoples. This United States of America was attacked at Pearl Harbor by the Japanese. And it shocked them. Before that attack, most all of the United States, way up in the 98% of the people, something like that, said, we don't want to be involved in any conflicts. Their conflicts are their own. We don't want to be conflicted by the European wars. We don't leave us alone. Don't bother us. But when that happened, it rocked the country. It rocked the country. And the country was desperate. They didn't have the ability to fight a war. They wasn't looking to fight a war. And so they had to have some way to strike back. For the morale of the American people, the leaders said, we need a way to strike back at our enemy, to be able to take the battle to them. And so they went and talked to a man by the name of Jimmy Doolittle. Maybe you've heard of him in history. He was an aviation man. He was in an airplane. And they went to him and said, is it possible to attack Japan? And they come up with a plan where they would put these B-25s on aircraft carriers. B-25s are big planes. They take off of aircraft carriers with little planes. But they devised a way to put these planes on there, load them up, and they went sailing towards Japan. But they said something. They told him, "You go get volunteers." Volunteers. Why volunteers? Because the nature of this mission is, you're probably going to die. You're risking a great... Now, who would do something like that? How could you possibly get enough pilots, bombardiers, all these people, navigators, and all that, to do something that is almost certain death to you? And yet they did. They was able to say, here's our mission. Here's what we're going to try to do. Will anybody go? And people started saying, me. Yes. Yes, I'll go because there's a cause bigger than me. There's a cause bigger than we are tonight. These men girded up to a Sunday. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know how to think about it, but I honor it. I honor it in the way that men gave themselves because they believed in something that was bigger than them. Folks, if we get down to all this life is about me, Marty, 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 what I can do, what I can accomplish, and whether I can have my name on a road or a bridge or a building somewhere, and I can be something, do you know there's a cause much bigger than that? I know one man that flew those. His name was Jimmy Doolittle. The one that they got to doing that said, "I'll lead it myself. I'll do it myself. How can I ask somebody else to do it, but don't do it myself?" He led that thing. They got over there and their plan was to get close enough to the island of Japan, fly over and drop some bombs and keep on flying until they could get to safety. But what happened? They got spotted. And they knew that they could get no closer. They knew they didn't have fuel enough to go and get back or get to any safe destination. And they asked Jimmy Doolittle, "We said we're going to have to abort mission. You won't have the fuel to go anywhere. You'll drop your bombs and you'll be out of fuel." He said, "It's worth it. It's worth it to a cause that I believe in." And one by one, these big bombers lifted off the decks of that aircraft carrier, gone for the destination that almost sure was ruined for them. Most of these men died. They didn't have enough fuel to go anywhere. Jimmy Doolittle and his crew actually was able to make it into the Soviet, I think the China actually, when was able to bail out, and they would survive. And they was rewarded for that. And that is the life of a hero. But they all had to say yes to something that was bigger than they. They saw something that was bigger, something that meant more. I may die. I may die in this. But there's something bigger. It's called freedom. It's called honor. It's called freedom. That my children, my grandchildren, those that come after me won't be taken over by this. There's something bigger than we are. I honor that kind of thing, but I say to this, it was only for a cause of this earth. Is the cause of our great God going to die on our watch? Oh, I know we're religious. Follow me a little bit. I know we're religious, but there's more to it than that. Can a man die for a cause that's no more worth than what this country? I appreciate what God gave us here, but it's turning its back on God. That's what he died for. He died for a nation that's turning away from God. We can be religious, but I have to ask us this. Are we willing to say yes? Yes, Lord, in my day, 2012, I will live to a cause bigger than I am. I will go, Lord, where you call me to go. I will give my life to the point that if I die going, I'll die going. I'll stand for something. Though I'm ridiculed, though I'm run down, though I'm run down by a world that thinks we're fanatics in the way we live, I will still stand up and say yes to God. Yes to the way of righteousness. Yes to the way of holiness. I hear your call, O Lord, for this our day. I hear you wanting something out of us that's more. More than just going to service. More than just singing the songs. With a heart, we stand up and say, yes, Lord. Yes, I'm going to go, Lord. I'm going to go into the ways of God. Yeah. I want to find you in my life. I want it to be real. I want to see you wherever you're at. Yes, there's going to be challenges of faith. Challenges of faith in our life. But I want to say yes. Yes, Lord. I'll go. There's a scripture over in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. You all know the story well. It was a young man named David, out with his father's sheep, taking care of the sheep, learning the ways of God with a heart for God. He gave himself to the cause of God, the life of God. He trusted in the Lord for his life. And he had an experience growing within him. And a lion comes along, and by the power of God, he took and slew that lion. That's a task, isn't it? And by the power of God, he, in faith in God, he slew a bear. And there come a time that his father said, your brothers are up with Saul, faced up against the Philistines. You grow up and see how they fare. And he sent him with some food and some stuff to greet them with. And he sent him up there, and David goes up. And I can only imagine the heart of David as he went. God. A cause worth dying for. God. My God. A God that's deliverance. A God that'll show you himself in life. That'll be with you and walk with you and talk with you. A God that's real in this life. Oh, how I want to know God. How I want him in my life. And he got up there, no doubt in his mind, the way I like to think of it, if you give me the liberty. Here's this young man that heard the stories of the faithfulness that had went before him. David understood the heritage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The stories of Abraham and his great faith wasn't unknown to David. This was God, and it was God to these men, and he understood it, and he knew of Moses and of Joshua and of Gideon. And he went there with the idea that nothing can stand before God and the armies of God. And they still can't. 2012, he's still alive. He's still God. He's still a delivering God. And he went up there, no doubt, if you give me this liberty. David went up there, and the language here kind of speaks of that. That he went up there to see God do something mighty for his people, like the story was always told. But the story wasn't being written that way, folks. The story was not being written that there is a mighty, delivering God that delivers his people, that stands true to his promises, that if you lean on him and live for him by faith, he will never fail you. You can throw your all on him, give him your whole life. Say yes to the will of God. Yes, Lord, I will go. I will do it. But nobody was doing it. And David got there, and he started looking around, and this giant comes out, and he's 9'9", quite a formidable foe. Who would want to face a guy like that? But David, that didn't change David's faith. That didn't alter him because the guy was big, or because his voice was rough, or because his spear was big, or because his armor was thick, or none of those things. So it changed David a bit. He looked at it and said, he's an uncircumcised Philistine. That's all he is. He's a big old piece of flesh. That's all he is. He's not God to anybody. And he thought, I think in his mind, he thought, listen to this guy. Boy, is he going to get it here in a little bit. For God's really going to do something, and we're the people of God. And he stands there, and they all start backing up and shaking. And David said, I'm going to pick this up in the 28th verse. It says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. You know, that happens. You let somebody get a little zeal, a little fire about him going to do something, and somebody going to throw cold water. Somebody wants to cold water? Why, you can't do that. Why, it ain't wise. Now, I ain't talking about not being wise. But he was angry. Why was he angry? Folks, let's get down to it. Why was he angry? Because he wasn't man enough in God to do what his little brother was about to do. That's a fact of it. It wasn't nothing but flesh that motivated him to do that. He was angry because he was going to be showed up and somebody was talking something and it was getting to him, inside him. Because he didn't do that. Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Is there not a cause, he said? Is there not a cause? I hope that resonates with us tonight. Is there not a cause tonight? Your soul? My soul? Our children's souls? Our neighbors? Our friends? The faithfulness that we have in 2012 to God to maintain something that's right in this earth? To stand, though 1,000 fall to the left and 10,000 to the right? They're fallen. They're fallen. People's going away. The old world is presenting, and old devil's got his shiny toys, and he's presenting to our people. Eat this. Go after this. Take this. Take this. Here's some fun. The excitement. The lust. The powers of these things. All the enticement of it all. Folks, it's not like it used to be. It's touch button now. It's on hand. It's everywhere. Is there not a cause for Christ today for a people that still love God, that still stand up and say, I will not defile myself. I will not go the ways of unrighteousness. I will not go down that path. I will stay true to God. I will, in this old perverse world, dress modestly and pursue the ways of right in my heart. I will listen to wholesome things. I will watch right things. I will not allow myself to be overtaken in this day. I will follow the Lord in wholesome and truth. I will follow Him. Lord, help me, because there's a cause that's bigger than we are. And though I be slain in this time, and though God call me in my life, worth it. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Is there not a cause to say, Lord, I give You without reservation? Without reservation. My life. Oh, can God do something with your life? He'll make it count. He'll make it count, not to this world. It may never be wrote down in some special place for somebody to look at, but it'll be wrote down in God's book. And it'll make a difference in people's lives. One man, one boy, one faithful, David, with a cause in his heart that was bigger than he is. I think David really said here, brethren, I may be wrong in my interpretation of God's will of things. I'm not perfect. I've missed it myself. But I'll go down there if it means me dying. Because this idea that God's not God doesn't go with me. God is God, and I'll die proving it. And so he said, is there not a cause? And these words went back to King Saul. King Saul? Oh, King Saul. Why don't you lead the people in the faithfulness? He didn't have it either. But David had it. And he went, and you know the story, a little shepherd boy. He went down there without armor, and he took his sling. Picked up him a few smooth stones on his way down to face the ultimate challenge that no man with his muscles, with his height, with his strength would dare do, but a little boy with faith. His life counted. His life counted. He went down there and by faith. Some people say he had practiced with that old sling. Yeah, you can say that. Maybe he was good at it. I never did get good at one. When I was a boy, I had one.
About all I ever done was broke the front window and out the door. And I was throwing that way, and the house was behind me. And I let fly. I thought I was going to throw one across the river, and I looked, and I couldn't see the rock going. And just now I heard a crash, and I turned around, and I heard Mom hollering. Up in the house, I just broke the window out of the door. My rock wasn't guided by the Lord, but David's was. His rock was true because it was God's cause. And he went down there and he said, I ain't coming to you in my own power, my own strength, so that I can throw a rock straight. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord and a cause that's bigger than I am. It's bigger than we are, folks, and it's worth giving your life for. It really, really is worth giving your life for. I know that I'm never going to be anything great in this world, and I wouldn't want to be if I could. But I do want my life to count. I want it to count like the little boy that had a couple fishes and a couple loaves of bread. It counted, didn't it? Because God can take the little things and magnify them to everybody. Your little bit of faithfulness, your testimony, your word to somebody in need can be magnified by God, and it can count. And you say, oh, they'll look at me funny. Yep. I'd be the last one to stand up here and say, people ain't going to look at you funny. They've sure looked at me funny. I got saved and oh, I wanted to live for the Lord, and I can remember. Listen, peer pressures and what people say don't mean nothing to me now. The Lord's hardened me to that kind of stuff, and I know words hurt, but I ain't going to tell you to try it, but I could say, I dare you to try. Because I've heard stuff, it just goes off me now. If the Lord approves of my life, amen. I know that the saints will approve then. I first got saved, and I remember one of my friends come driving by, and he stopped. I'd been saved a little while, and I was out working on a sun. It wasn't hot like this was hot, but I was out there, and I had my long sleeves on, and I was dressed, and I was out there working, and he stopped, and he looked at me and said, what are you doing in that long sleeve shirt? I didn't have a thing to say. I know I turned red. I was young in the Lord. Didn't have a thing to say. But it didn't make me quit. You know why? Because the Lord saved me. That's why. It was worth everything to me. I didn't care what I had to do, where I had to go, what I had to. I wanted to live for the Lord. And I didn't care. Folks, there's a cause that's bigger than the ideas of this world. I could have easily said, well, if you're all that hot, maybe you should put a long sleeve on. Maybe you should put a shirt on. He didn't have a shirt on at all. He said, well, you're that hot, put a shirt on. I'm not complaining. David had a cause in his heart. He went down there and he said, it's not my power. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. You know, that's where we got to face our battles. In the name of the Lord. I say, yes. The great word. The Lord comes calling for every one of us. I'm going to tell you, He's a gentleman. What you feel the pushing and the pulling, it's not the Lord. The Lord deals in us a way for us to say, yes, Lord, I will go. I will do. He prompts. He pleads. He deals. But the ultimate is, I've got to say yes. Yes, Lord, take me. I want to be one of your chosen people. Make of me something that counts in this life. Make of me something. Have you ever, maybe I'm going out of bounds here, but we'll say it anyway. Have you ever been stirred in your heart to want to die for God? I have. Oh, I've had it many times saying, Lord, the ultimate to me. Let me die for you. Let me give my life to you that way. Others have had to do it. I know I'm not going to live forever. Lord, let me do that. It ain't so far out of bounds. Because Peter did it. And Paul done it. And a lot of the other ones done it too. Oh, dear old brother Stephen done it. He gave his life for it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me die for you, Lord. You died for me. Can I die for you? Can my passion run so hot? Can I believe it so much that it's worth, as the sister said here, is it worth going to bed saying, Lord, if I die, it's over. Thank God. It's over. I wonder if old Stephen was when he was there and they were throwing the stones at him. I wonder sometimes if he didn't think, you better watch it. How hard you throw that next stone, you might set me free. You better watch it. You think you're doing me harm? You're blessing me. You're blessing me. I see the Lord. I see Him standing on the right hand of God. I'm about to go. Watch your throw, brother. Watch your throw. You've just done it. You've just done it for a cause. It's bigger than he was. What was that cause? It ignited a man. It ignited a man that was there and holding the persecutor's clothes. And it ignited him somewhere in his life. It ignited him. When the Lord came to him, he knew what he had done. And he saw someone faithful and true all the way. Someone that didn't curse. He never threw the stones back. He had something more than what people have. He didn't grit his teeth. He didn't do those things. With grace of God, he died. He died like the Lord Jesus did. And it goes on. Oh, thank God for this truth that we have. Every time the devil thinks he squashes it down, some poor old sinner somewhere gets tired of sin and he begs the Lord to forgive him and it pops up again somewhere. And that's God working. And there's a cause tonight worth giving your life to. We ain't throwing it to the wind, folks, like some do. Giving your life to God is giving it to somebody that's the master of it. That knows exactly what to do with it. And how to deal with it. And He knows what you can do and can't do. He may make a martyr out of you. And then you might live to be 100. I don't know which one's the greatest challenge. To be honest with you, which one's the greatest? God's faithful on both.
Amen.
Do you know we live in a peculiar time? You know why? Because the world is rampantly evil. It's a technological age that you can get anything at a push button. And we're extremely prosperous. We got to learn how to prosper. We got to learn how to be faithful to God and to the cause, even though we're prosperous. Does God have grace for poverty? Absolutely. Does God have grace for riches? Absolutely. You can be faithful to riches. But there has to be a cause that's bigger than riches. There has to be a cause that's bigger than I am. I want to look at the scripture now in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And I want us to consider a few men in this chapter. I want to go first to the 12 and pick up a thought. 12th chapter starts out like this. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I noticed this dust out here. Dustiest season I ever seen here. Not that I'm anybody or been here the longest, but boy, I can taste it in my mouth. I can smell it in the air. A cloud, a car will come out, a cloud will come up. That cloud is made up of a whole bunch of particles. Individual particles all coming up at once. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. It started way back, and the Bible talks about it here in the 11th of Hebrews. As the beginning of the cloud, there was a man named Abel. And Abel offered a sacrifice unto the Lord that was acceptable, and a particle of dust come up. Faithfulness come up. Righteousness, it was imputed to him that the man was righteous until his day. And he became the first one that had done it. He wasn't the last one. One particle don't make a cloud. But there was started the cloud. And then it wasn't long on down, there become to be more. And it was Enoch. He walked with God. So walked with God that he wasn't found. He was translated. By faith, he believed in God in a day he don't know nothing like we do. But he knew something valuable. And he believed in a cause and something that was bigger than he was. And he walked with God. And then there was a man named Noah. A man that was right for his day. And now the cloud's growing more. Old Noah comes on the scene. And right in the middle of a perverse, in the days of Noah, the thoughts and the imaginations of the thoughts in their heart was only evil continual. And here was a man in the midst of that kind of living that trusted in God. Heard the voice of God. How did the Lord speak to him? Like he speaks to us. That's the way he done it. And inspired his heart to build the ark that he would soon save his family in. And by faith, the cloud grows. And then there was Abraham. Oh, Abraham was a special man to me in the scriptures. Abraham believed in God. And he left the land that was his own. And he traveled in a land that he didn't know. And he done it by faith, sojourning. And who did he take with him? More faithful ones. Isaac. And Jacob. And Joseph. They're all mentioned here that the cloud begins to come. The cloud is getting bigger now of men that believed in the cause and put their life to it. These men are written for us. But I'm going to tell you, once this thing's rolled up, they're no bigger or better than we are. God ain't a respecter of persons. You want to be an Abraham? Say yes. Say yes. God will take you to the places of Abraham. He'll take you to the places of those that followed after and believed in God. And the cloud grows, doesn't it? And it kept growing. There come a time that after many, many years of Joseph, and Joseph was long gone, and the influence of Joseph was gone in Egypt, and the people of Israel become slaves down there in the land of Goshen and in Egypt, and they cried for a deliverer, and God sent him one by the name of Moses. Oh, Moses. Bless your heart, Moses. You could have been prince to the most powerful nation in the world. And he chose rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God, to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. What did he see? A cause that was bigger than he was. And the cloud grows. One more man enters the cloud and it's big and it's growing now. And through that time there is many, I'm convinced, that was never named or numbered. There was people out that believed in God and longed for God and hoped for God. And God blessed them. And this list, you want to read the 11th chapter of Hebrews? The cloud grows. The cloud grows and it gets bigger. The ones I want to read about are at the end of the chapter of Samson, of Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Well, who wouldn't serve God for that? Come on, look at it. He fed it. Jesus fed them. He went around, he'd get hungry, he'd feed them. They needed something, he'd do it. If he got sick, he'd heal them. We follow for that, don't we? The cloud's bigger than that, folks. I will follow the Lord because of things that He gives me here. He saved my soul. See, a call's bigger than all that. Oh, if the Lord would set me up in a fine house and all I could care to eat and comfort and all those things. And you know, there's a multitude of false prophets declaring to the people, if you serve this God, this is what's going to happen. Folks, lift up your eyes to more than that. You want to know the fact, that the truth of it? I see it happening to me. I'm dying. I'm dying. And you are too. We recently had one of my mother's brothers pass away. Kind of started something. I told my sister, kind of started something here. Wasn't dealing much with them passing away. Just a few, 6 weeks later, another one's found dead in bed. Another uncle, dead in bed. We bury him. A little bit later, another uncle on my dad's side. Just buried him a couple days ago. He's starting to die. I'm a generation behind, but I'm coming on. You know you're going to die whether you give your life to the Lord or not?
That's right.
This life's meant to die, and you're going to die. But these men looked at it differently. Women received their dead raised from life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Listen to this. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. What do you mean? Help me. Help me to understand. Help me to look, Lord, and see. Peter, what are you talking about? You're about to be put to death? History says that he says, please, don't crucify me upside like the Lord did. A lot of people say that Peter actually remembered back to the day of his denying the Lord. And in his heart of penitence that went through him all of his life for the grief that he had done in his life, remembered it on that last day. And he wanted to make, after all that he lived for the Lord and all that had been done, he wanted to make one final big statement to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry for what I did over there when I denied you. I want my life to count for something. And he said, don't crucify me upside like the Lord did. I'm not worried. Would you put me head down? And they did it. And he added agony to his own death. I wonder if he really did, though. I wonder what was in his soul as he was there. I wonder if he wasn't saying, thank God for the victory that's in my soul. I have lived this thing, and now I'm being offered the way I've always wanted to die for a cause that's bigger than I am. And all the words of Paul, I think it's the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said, I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Don't be crying for old Paul. They're surely going to take my head right off my shoulders. Don't you cry for Paul. I've lived for this. I don't want deliverance. I want to be with the Lord. I've got a crown waiting for me. Aren't you glad he didn't stop and say, I'm the only one that gets a crown? Not for me only, but for all that love is appearing. For all that love the cause of God, that make it bigger. Listen to what these people got to. Can it be in 2012 that a people love God enough to give themselves to Him? Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. Can you say yes to that? Lord, help us. I'm going to tell you, religion's cheap. Half-hearted, devotion's cheap. Meaning it is valuable. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And you say, you could easily say, what's valuable about that? What's valuable about that? Do you know they said, in the early days of Christianity, for everyone that burned at the stake, there was always somebody to step up and say, burn me too. There was always somebody that said, I'll go too. I'm reminded of one account that stuck in my mind of a woman that had a 12-year-old son who had been saved and believed in the Lord Jesus. And they come and got him and put him to the stake and was a burning him alive. Mothers, what would you do? And there was a mother there saying to her son, oh, dear son, hang on to your faith. It'll be but a moment, and you'll get to be with the Lord. Hang on, my dear son. Amen. Is it real enough to believe in and give your life for? Is it believe enough to really believe in God for? Do you really mean it? Listen, folks, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it is or it isn't. Lord, help me to believe. Help me to believe in you, Lord, to make it real in my life. Help me to believe. Are they going to stone me? I like this other stuff better. I like being delivered. I like being healed when I'm sick. Lord, don't always call people to be healed of this natural body when you're sick. People carry afflictions for years sometimes. For what? To show that there's a God that you can live anything in. I ain't your battles. I ain't required to carry yours. I help you, of course. I know what the Bible says, but you know what I'm saying. If you're here tonight and you got an unsaved loved one, I don't. God never called me to do it, but God's great grace for you to do it.
Amen.
I got my battles, you got yours, we all got ours. But are we going to say yes to stonings, to sickness, to disease, whatever may come? These did. And what does the Bible say of them? Of whom the world wasn't worthy. You know what that means? To me, this is what that statement means. It meant they lived that kind of life in front of people. And people trod on it. People did not honor what they had done in their presence. Because it showed the great grace of God that people can live that kind of a life with victory in their souls, still loving their persecutors, still loving those that was doing it. And it showed them firsthand, and they rejected it. Of whom the world is not worthy. And do you know today the world isn't worthy? It still isn't worthy. But it's our duty, 2012, to present the clear picture of the gospel. A clear, definite picture of people that believe in God. Enough that people can look and say they believe in God. I had a grandmother that I appreciated for this fact. She didn't care who knew it. She lived faithful by herself. She was able to go to the different meetings at times. She was able to go, but she lived most of her life by herself, being faithful. And I'm here, I believe I'm saved today because my grandmother was faithful. She was faithful right on through all the persecution, all that was said about her. A lot of people looked and said, crazy old woman. What a crazy old woman. But she was faithful. I thank God for that tonight. I want to look at one scripture of one man here before I close. And the man was Samson. And I'll do it quickly. But it's over in Judges, the 16th chapter of Judges. This is the story of Samson. You'll know the story. Samson had a vow on him. The vow was that he was a Nazarite. There was different vows, but one of the vows was that he never would have a razor put through his head. He never would have his hair cut. And old Samson was quite a character in the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord would come because of that vow and that oath. When he got into a jam, the Spirit of the Lord would come on him mightily and give him supernatural strength. And I can just imagine it because it seems humorous to me to see this guy go in and have a conflict with these guys and just say, okay, I'll just take your city gate with me as I go. No sweat. The city gate was made there to keep them strong. An army couldn't break through it. Samson took it, put it on his shoulder and packed it up on the hill. He toyed with them. He toyed with them. He toyed with this thing. And here was a man that God had something precious to. Do you know that this was the most precious thing? Because this was what God done for him. God had given him this. And he toyed with it. He toyed with this thing. And he went off and he done things that he shouldn't have done. But the oath was intact. And God was being faithful to that oath. And as long as he kept his end, God kept his end. So he went around and, you know what he should have done? He shouldn't have went after that woman down there. It was a Philistine woman. He should have sought, folks, and again, I'm going to speak to the young people just a minute. Saying yes to this is saying, I'm going to pick somebody that's going to care for my calling. I'm going to seek the Lord to have me somebody that's going to be a support to me, not a hindrance. Because I got a cause. This bigger than I am. I need help with the cause. Oh, Samson went down there and got him. You know why? Because he was Samson. He was the guy that took the city gate. He was the guy that killed 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. Nobody worried him, and especially this woman. Oh, but it's those kind of things that get a man, isn't it? And in the process, you remember the story. Old Samson gave in to her and ended up telling her after much conniving that what his gift was, what the oath was, what gave him his strength. She calls them in and they come in and they cut his hair off. The oath gone. And then they holler, Samson, your enemy's on you. And he jumps up out of there, and the Scripture says he wist not, he didn't know, that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Folks, people get themselves, it's just true, people get themselves in life to the place that the Spirit of the Lord has departed from their life. Sometimes they don't know that it's departed, but their life gets to the place that it isn't counting anymore. It really isn't counting. It doesn't count anymore. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a wasted life. That's where Samson had gotten to. And in this, I'm going to start with the 21st verse. It says, "But the Philistine took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistine gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, 'Listen, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand.'" What do you think about that? Oh, they was relishing the fact. They'd been praying, offering sacrifice to Dagon that he would deliver this mighty man into their hand. And guess what? He did it. And do you know what? That's what the old world's looking after. That's what the old eyes are on. Just waiting for the failures. Just waiting for the faults so they can say, "Told you there wasn't no God. Told you religion's a farce. Told you ain't nothing to this old salvation thing, sanctification, whatever it is. Told you. Nothing to it. We've got a God here, and our God won." It did it, really. But old Samson, it says, "And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, 'Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us.' And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they called, that they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may make us sport.' And they called for Samson out of his prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars." You get the picture. They brought him so that they could laugh at him, so that they could rejoice for the victory. It was a symbol to them. It was well known. That's what they like to do. Capture a king and show the glory of their gods by keeping him and making fun of him and doing those kind of things. And here Samson was. First thing they did was put out his eyes. Never, never, ever going to be the man that he was really meant to be. Folks, you know, tonight that happens to crushed and destroyed lives over and over again. And the old devil comes in and the plan A of life is destroyed. What God intended you to be from your youth is over now. I'm just telling you, it's true. It's true. It's never going to be what God really intended it to be. And old Samson now, his eyes are going out. And he's never going to be that mighty man again. No more hinges, no more thousand, no, none of those things are going to happen again. But there was a cry in old Samson's heart, "Make my life count. Lord, I've done it wrong. I've done it wrong. Lived my life selfishly. Lost the most precious thing to me. Could have judged Israel. Could have been a man that made a difference. Did make a difference in my youth. Could have made a great difference in my life. Could have done so many things. I could have helped people. I could have worked with people. I could have been such a blessing. The Lord gave me ability. He gave me things. Squandered. Wasted. Thrown away. All for my flesh. All to try to enjoy something. All to get something that was forbidden to me to do." Oh, how many mighty young men are out there tonight? Mighty young men with hope. With power in your life, with strength to do things, able to go. "My legs creak a lot. I ain't what I used to be. Can't run no more." Somebody asked me, one of the young people asked me last night, said, "Brother Marty, you want to play some dare bass?" I laughed and said, you run in that game, don't you?" "Yeah. Not me. Can't run." "Well," and they said, "well, you could walk fast." I think he said, "Well, you walk fast, maybe." "No, I don't think it'd work right." How many's out there tonight that has such potential? God wants to make your life something. And oh, I'm going to tell you tonight, God can do it. And here's one that spent his away, and now it's gone, and he's never going to be what he should have ever been. But listen to this. Now he's sat between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Or you can say, what would a young guy want to go over and be crushed and everybody dying? That wasn't my... Samson was saying, lead me over there. And they were saying, yeah, lead the strong man. He's tired. He's tired. He needs to lean against something. Oh, look what our God has reduced this guy down to. Young people, listen to me. This is what the devil wants to reduce you down to. Wasted. With cigarette smokes and lungs that can't breathe anymore. And habits that fill you that you can't break loose of. Them claws that get in there of sin that you can't get loose of. That's what the old devil has in tent. This is the baggage of relationships that will make it almost impossible to have the kind of relationship that really God intended. That's right. Reduce you down to somebody that can't even stand on his own. And this was the man of men. This was the man of men. This was the man. And now he's reduced down to less than a child. A little lad. Lad, lead me. Lead me over to the pillars. It says, now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. And behold, while Samson made sport, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, oh Lord. He said, oh Lord God. Does this prayer resonate with your heart tonight? Lord, I'm a failure. My eyes are put out. I don't have anything left. As a man, I'm nothing. Haven't felt the Spirit of the Lord on me since that day. How long would that been? Well, nobody really says. But here it is. I'm a waste. My life is crushed. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord God, remember me. I pray Thee and strengthen me. I pray Thee. Lord, only this once. This once in the glory of Your name, that I might die exalting God. What else can I do? I have no life left to do anything with, but Lord, if Your grant strength, not that I might live for the flesh anymore, not that I might try to go after the things of this world anymore, but oh God, if You'll give me one last push, I'll die glorifying You. He died too. Did he not? He knew it too. Did he not? But his life was wasted, and now there was a cause that loomed in his heart and his mind. Oh God, please have mercy on me. A wasted man. Broken and destroyed. Give me a push. One last push. Oh, how many times, Brother Ivan, have we prayed for people for the last push? Oh, Lord, give them one last burst. Give them one last inspiration. Give them an inspiration of strength. Give them one more time. Oh, Lord, please bring them out of that coma. Give them one last, that they might glorify You with one last moment. Oh, Lord, remember me. Oh, God, that I might be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Oh, can you see the scene? And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. Folks, guess what happened? It doesn't say this here, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. One last push. Do you know, for that moment, I can see no other moment for which he was put there. He was wrote in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as a part of a cloud of people that believed in God and glorified His name, and he will forever be a part of a witnessing people that believed in God enough to give himself to it for the glory of God. He gave himself to die with the Philistines. He killed more Philistines in his death to the glory of God than all the days of his life. One last push. Folks, we have a life to give. I know there's not going to be many. But is there a few? Is there a few tonight that asked, they said in Isaiah, when the call come and said, who will go? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go for you, Lord. I'll do it. I'll do that. I'm going to give you one last testimony in my life. For me to do what I'm doing, as little or as much as it ever benefits anybody, is a major place for me. Because I know who I am. And for me to do this is incredible. It took God to do it. And the only thing that I can say is the reason I do it is because I told the Lord one time, if you'll save me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And the Lord came to me one time and he said, actually, Brother Tony was at that time, Brother Sammons was our pastor, and Brother Tony came to me one time and he said to me, and the Lord had been dealing with me and working with me and giving me thoughts. And oh, I tell you, I'd go to work. I had to drive about 2 hours sometimes, and I'm telling you, the Lord would get on me, and I'd give out thoughts, and I'd be just, all my mind would just run with the Word of God. There come a time that Brother Tony came to me and said, we're needing a Sunday school, adult Sunday school teacher. And I said, the Lord bless me, I'd do it. And he said, would you? I said, yeah. Well, it went about 2 weeks, early Sunday morning. Brother Tony called and said, did you know Dad was gone? And I said, yeah. And he said, I'm going to need a Sunday school teacher. And I told him, I said, Lord, be with me. I'll do it. It was terrifying to me. Absolutely terrifying. But you know, the Lord already gave me one. Faithful as God. Faithful. After a few years of doing that, there come a time that Brother Tony preached the message, Green Bank Congregation. It's one of those messages, who will go? Who will stand in the gap? Who will do it? I remember listening to that message, and I looked over at this brother over here and thought, that don't fit him. And I look over here at that one, trying to fit it to that guy. It don't fit him either. Look, I tried to fit it to everybody in there, because I acknowledged him that the Lord was with it. The Lord was blessing. So he was talking to somebody, so you have to put it to somebody he was talking to. I remember taking that and saying, Lord, you're talking to me. I felt so humbled by that. I felt so incapable. Lord, I can't. I can't. Sometime after that, I had a dream, a night dream. In my dream, I came upon this great dam. Below the dam, the wall of the dam was just made of brick and block. And I came below, I came and looked down at the scene of this. And the great dam was beginning to spring leaks. And the water was coming out. And the saints, nobody in particular, but the saints was down there. And they was running frantically, putting their hands against that. And trying to stop the leaks. And the leaks was spraying and they was trying. And they all knew that if this thing gives way, that there's going to be a great disaster. And I remember looking at that and saying, Lord, help. Lord, have mercy. And then somebody turned around to look and saw me and they said, well, thank the Lord, there's Brother Marty. He can stop the leaks. And I started backing up saying, no, Brother Marty, don't stop leaks. It's not me. It's not me. In my dream, I remember feeling just like I did on that. Lord, I can't do it. It wasn't one of exaltation. It wasn't one of pride. It was one of, Lord, who can stop a leak? But they said no. And I was prompted to come. And I was able to go by this. And all I had to do was just go like this and touch by it. And it would stop. It was stopping. The saints was rejoicing. The leaks was stopping. The tide of the world had been changed. And it was like that. And in my dream, I was so humble and so, oh, Lord, help me. And I woke up from this dream saying, Lord, That's what I said. I said, yes. I don't understand it. But Lord, if I can stop anything, if I can help anything, I'll do it, and I meant it. But I'm going to tell you, this was so fearful to me that I told the folks at home, I said, listen, if I ever get up and go up there and preach, you all better listen, because it's definitely the Lord. They took it. I mean it today. God blessed and led in that way. Tonight, we had a wonderful service last night. I thank God for it. I thank God for the response of those that put in for it. And it is a major step. But after that step, do you realize there are still other steps? And do you know there's going to come a place after that place that the Lord's going to say to you, now, I have, as Brother Michael said, I have fortified you. I have made you able. You are able to go the distance in my plan now. And now I want you to say the great word, yes, to what I'm calling you for in your life. Oh, we think of missionaries to foreign lands. Sure. It's a lot more than missionaries to foreign lands. It is a part of it. We need passion. I've told several this, and y'all forgive me, I know we're pushing it, but we're in a golden time in my mind. I'm seeing more and more people tired in their religious groups, tired of seeing the move to the world. There's a lot of good, honest people out there, it seems, that they're starting to look at their, and it's going so far from them. Their security's been wiped out because there's more and more people becoming so worldly. Churches are being so worldly, and they're becoming to accept homosexuality and all this filthiness of the world. And people are saying, I know that's not right. We're in a golden time to touch people's lives. There's people hurting and harm, and sin is touching people. And there's one, as Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. In my calling, in what I desire, what you desire of me in my life, help me to be faithful to it. A word of encouragement to support the ministers, to labor with them, to pray, to be faithful to pray, to be there to stand in that gap, to be able to be those. Listen, I know this for a fact as a minister that has went out. It is always a great benefit and privilege to have faithful saints dealing before the minister holds the meeting, to get there to show how to live and to challenge people in their life, to invite and do all those things. And I've had a lot of people think that the minister is supposed to come in and do all the inviting and go and talk to all everybody that's sick and supposed to go and do all that. Folks, listen, that is not the plan. That is not the plan. There's a place for your life to count. If some people can fly over Japan for a cause that's hardly, it's a corruptible crown. Let's fly over it for our incorruptible one. Lord, help me that I might be faithful. You pray for me.